Morning.
Good to be with you again, beloved. It's always a joy to be able to remember our blessed Redeemer. No one like him. No place we'd rather be than around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't help remembering Bill and Judy, something I heard a few years back. As the brother said, how close you are sitting. This husband, this husband and this wife, they were traveling and they were doing a little arguing in the car. Back in the days in the 70s, you know, the American cars were made with what we call a bench seat. And she turned and she said to him, "Look at us. We used to be so close together when we drive." He said, "Wait, what are you blaming me? I didn't move." He was driving. He said, "I haven't moved." So, good to see you together. We're going to talk about choices today. Because we all make choices. And we need to remind our hearts that there are consequences to our choices. And good choices, there are rewards as well. We're going to turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 13. The book of Genesis in chapter 13. We begin to read at verse 5. And it says, "And Lot also went with Abram. Who went with Abram had flocks and herds and tents. The land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I prithee, between me and thee, between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt go or take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou wilt depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in a breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord." Choices. There's a choice between being carnal and being spiritual. You know, it's not like God says, I want you to be a spiritual Christian, I want you to be a carnal Christian. No, we are carnal or spiritual based on our choices. And the Lord doesn't want us to be carnal. He even though we have a choice, he says to walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, these are two men with similar backgrounds. They just came out of Egypt and they did well. And they had what we call today, they had growing pains because their stock keeps multiplying, but the land remained the same. And then they began to be having strife between their herdsmen, and Abram was the peacemaker. The Lord Jesus commended the peacemaker here when he preached the Sermon on the Mount. Abraham says, the whole land is before you. There is no need for us to fight. We are brethren. Let us keep the peace. You have a choice. If you go to the east, I'll go to the west. If you go to the north, I'll go to the south. You and I, beloved, we have choices. When the Lord saved us, we had a choice whether we're going to follow the Lord, or we're going to get into His Word, or we're going to be conformed to the image of His Son, or whether we're going to walk as the world and keep walking in the flesh, even though we have been saved by the grace of God. Lot made a choice. Abraham did as well, but we don't think we'll have the time to get to Abraham maybe the next time around, but we're going to deal with Lot. This righteous man, you couldn't tell from what will happen here that he was a righteous man. But he was a righteous man. He was a just man. We'll get to that at the end of the message. Same God, same environment, same opportunities, different choices. You and I, beloved, when we make our choices, we have to understand that we have to live with the consequences. Lot, first of all, lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. He made a choice to be prosperous, to have the best field that he could. He made a choice based on short-term gain. Use his eyes. He lifted up his eyes. I can't tell you how many times in the Bible where people's eyes got them into trouble. It began with the first woman. She listened to the evil one, and he promised her the world, and everything would be so much better if she disregarded what God had said. She saw the fruit of the garden. She saw it, and it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. Our eyes can deceive us. It was something to be desired to make one wise. And she went for it based on what she saw. She made a choice to disobey the voice of the Lord, and she listened to the serpent. We have seen the consequences down through the ages. We can almost hear the word of the Lord as he spoke to her in these words, "What hast thou done?" You have no idea. And she did what we all do today.
She blamed somebody else. She said, the serpent. But Lot lifted up his eyes. We got to be so, so careful, beloved, because we can see things. And there's a difference between sight and insight. And so often we use our sight without even thinking of the consequences, without even thinking of the ramifications of the choices that we make. We make decisions based on what we see. Only what we see. John the Apostle tells us that there are only three things in this world system, and they will pass away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the desire to have, the lust of the eyes, the desire to see, and the pride of life, the desire to be. I want to be somebody. I'm going to make these choices. Don't tell me about the consequences. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, while we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. Temporal. They will pass away. But the things that are not seen are eternal. The difference between sight. Sight is first. Insight is second. Too often we make the mistake. Oh, it looks good. It looks good. When David's father brought his sons to Samuel, Samuel was looking. He was looking for a man. He was looking for someone to anoint king. And the first one came out was Eliab, and he was tall and handsome and strong, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed Israel. He's ready to anoint him, and God said, not so fast. Look not on his stature. Look not on his appearance, because that's not what I'm looking for. For God seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. If you're looking for the outward appearance, that's why they left David back there. He didn't look like a king. But God says, I'm looking for a man after mine own heart. It wasn't Eliab. It wasn't Abinadab. It wasn't any of them. It was David, the shepherd boy. The shepherd boy. Lot looked. He saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. It looked good. It's a good place to raise cattle. He thought, I'm going for it. And he journeyed east. Speaking about your eyes getting you into trouble. Remember Samson? How many times you read that Samson saw? He saw a woman at Timnah. He saw a harlot. He looked and he saw Delilah. One time, one of these women, he said to his father, you go and get her for me because she pleases me well. I like what I see. each time he got himself into trouble, and the last time, guess what? He bore his eyes out, he took his eyes out. Those eyes that got him so much.
Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered. Everywhere.
All he can see is green.
I'm afraid we do that at times, don't we? All we see is green. I'm not talking about grass this time. We like to see green.
Achan.
In spite of all that God had said, you remember him, Judges chapter 7, when Joshua called him and asked him, why did you do this? Why did you trouble God's people? After the lot fell on him and he had no way to hide, he had to come clean. He said, I saw the Babylonish garment. I saw it. And I coveted it. I wanted it for myself. I coveted it. Saw the gold, the wedge of gold. And I hid it.
This is over. He's going to be somebody. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Lot lifted up his eyes and saw. Then the next thing about Lot. Lot chose. Lot made a choice. Verse 11 of Genesis 13. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Not even the bond of a surrogate father, because Abraham had taken him under his wings to care for him, for his father had died. And not even the love of Abraham could keep them together. Because he was so driven. He wanted to make a killing, as we say today. And he turned his back on Abraham. And he went east. Beloved, if you make a choice that you're going to leave your environment, you know, you'll have to live with the consequences. If you think your parents are too strict, or this church is too tight, as a people say, you want to go out, you want to explore, you want to make a name for yourself. Choices have consequences, and there is a price to pay. Lot chose. We turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 1. It speaks of those who have rejected the Lord, who turned their backs on him. It says, they would not listen to his counsel. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. And the Lord will mark when your fear comes. Choose not only based on sight, but based on spiritual insight. Look at the whole picture before you move. God's servant Joshua, he called Israel together. He saw them going back into idolatry. He saw them going astray.
And this dear man of God is coming to the end of his life. What he did, he gave them a history lesson. He told them in the last chapter of the book of Joshua, a history lesson. He told them all that God had done. We won't have time to read it all, but some of the things that he said to the children of Israel. He wanted to warn them because their choices would have consequences. The Lord said, I took your father, Abraham, from the other side. From the Ur of the Chaldeans. He took him from the other side and says, I gave him Isaac. Joshua 24. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob. And I sent Moses and Aaron into Egypt. I brought your fathers out of Egypt. I brought you into the land, and on and on and on. He gave them a history lesson. Then he said to them, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, if after all that it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, therefore choose you this day whom you will serve. You want to go back to the gods that your father served on the other side of the river? You want to go back to the gods of Egypt? You want to go back to the gods of these pagans in whose land you dwell? I tell you what my choice is. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve. We have to make a choice whether we want to serve the Lord or serve the evil one. Because to whom you use yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey. Moses, before he died, in the book of Deuteronomy, he called on Israel similarly to make a choice. Chapter 30, coming to the end of his life. He says, I call heaven and earth, he said, to witness against you this day, to record this situation, to record this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, and both thou and thy seed. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Jordan. And there's only one reason why he did that. Well, two reasons. Because he was carnal, and it was all about doing well. But we have to move on. This Lot is an interesting character. There's a lot to talk about Lot. Verse 12 says, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. He dwelt in the cities of the plain. There in Sodom and Gomorrah, he made his home. He dwelt there. But that was not his stated intention when he went to Sodom. Apparently, he told them that he was here just for a short while. He told them that he was passing through. He was just a stranger. How do I know that? When you go to chapter 19 and those evil men of Sodom wanted to attack the visitors, Lot says, oh, don't do that. I have a better idea. Why don't you take my daughters? He's already converted to the lifestyle of Sodom, wasn't he? Why don't you take my daughters and leave these men alone? Their response was, this man came to sojourn among us. Now he is a judge. No, he wants to judge us. I thought When he came, he said he was a stranger. He came to sojourn. Now he was dwelling. He was dwelling. He had a house. He had a job. We get to that if we have time. He dwelt in the cities. Where are we dwelling? Where are we spending our time? Where our thoughts are. What's our desire? The psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent.
Of wickedness. More than likely, if we are dwelling in the tents of wickedness, then sin is dwelling in us. And we can't find the victory, as Paul reminds us in the Romans chapter 7. He says, look at his own heart. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There are consequences.
But there are also rewards. If we insist, if we want to make the choice to be spiritual, if we make the choice to be godly, like that Moabitess damsel called Ruth, her mother-in-law says, you got to go back home, go back to your lifestyle of idolatry. Ruth said, I'm going. But Naomi insisted, you can't. I can't give you another son and all. All sorts of arguments. And then the young widow says, entreat me not to leave thee, nor from following after thee.
Where thou goest, I will go.
Where thou dwellest, that's it. You can substitute dwelling for lodging. Where thou dwellest, I will dwell.
I don't want to go back to Moab. What a blessing that was.
She met the mighty man of wealth. The kinsman of Naomi's husband was not only willing, but he was also able to redeem. What a beautiful picture of the kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth.
What kind of a blessing you think came out of that union? Unlike Naomi, when she got back, she said, "Don't, I want to change my name. I'm not pleasant anymore. Call me bitter. Call me Mara. Because the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." And this is interesting words. She says, I went out.
And beloved, we always get in trouble when we do things. I went out.
What a difference it made, because that young Moabitess damsel, she wanted to be in the place God had blessed, the house of bread. She met Boaz. They got married. It's not the whole story, I'm just doing this. She got married, had a son. And he had a son. And his son had a son. You know who that last son was? It was David. David. What a picture, beloved, because David was that one to whom the Lord had promised to bless and multiply his seed, and that they shall not fail a man to sit on his throne. God had promised David that from his descendants he would raise up the saint. Wonderful message. Behold, born unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Obed, Jesse, David. Ruth had made a choice. Here's Lot dwelling.
And you can do, because you're righteous and because you know the Lord, you can do some good things while you were dwelling there, like the church in Pergamos. They were trying to hold on, but the Bible says that the church was where Satan's seat was. They were dwelling wickedness, amidst the wickedness. As a result, they had contaminated with false doctrine, dwelling where Satan seated. Where are we dwelling? Well, what's occupying our minds and our hearts? Lot pitched his tent with Sodom. The place is going to burn up. That's the meaning of it. It's going to burn up, but I'm going there anyway. I'm going to make a quick kill and I'm going to leave. I'm going to get all that I can. I'm going to be out of there before I burn up. Not so quick, sir. Lot pitched his tent to with Sodom, verse 12. This one fellow pitched his tent. That's the beginning, but he didn't stay in that tent, you know. Before you know it, he built a house. He built a house. If you're going to a place for a vacation, if you're going to spend a few weeks or a few months, you don't build a house. It seemed like it's permanent to me. The Bible says, we're talking about Hebrews. The Bible says here, beloved, here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and concerning the man Abraham. It says here, in Hebrews study, here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Yet we get bogged down in Sodom. All of a sudden, evil doesn't seem evil to us anymore. We're so conditioned. Beloved, it's not much different today. Our society is trying to condition our mind to accept evil as good. They're trying their hardest to make us think that evil is good, that wrong is right, and that poor man down in Sodom, he was sick to his stomach, yet he wouldn't leave. He wouldn't leave. Old saying back in the islands, you hold your nose and you take money. You hold your nose, you don't. I guess you're not accustomed to that kind of saying. You know what it means? Let's move on. The time is gone. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, verse 13, it says, we are supposed to be strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Strangers and pilgrims. What does that mean? Lot was supposed to be a pilgrim. He was to be a stranger. He was to be supposed to be a sojourner. What's a pilgrim? A pilgrim is a person on his way home. What's a stranger? A stranger is a person who is away from home. And you and I are called upon to be pilgrims, strangers. We are on our way home, and we are away from home. Here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. 1 Peter 2:11 says we are sojourners and pilgrims. Same thing. Sojourners and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. How's his choice working out? He's doing well. Chapter 19 and verse 1.
It says, Lot sat in the gate. He's moving up in the world.
Maybe he hired somebody to take care of the cattle now. He has a government job now. He's sitting in the gate. He's a judge. When matters come to them, he hangs on sentences. He judges things. He was now a judge. He had an official title.
A judge is someone who took care of problems back then. Those who sat in the gate, they bring the, if you have a stubborn child and they won't listen to you, you bring them and the judge would pass sentence. Give authority to stone them if necessary. He had a big job.
He made it.
He built a house. Now he's sitting in the gate. He's doing well. But at what price? What price are you willing to pay for so-called success?
What price are you willing to pay to ignore all that's around you and look the other way as though it didn't happen? If I forget everything else, I have to deal with this one. Success at what price? Let's read it. Let's read on.
Chapter 19. The Lord is fulfilling his promise to destroy this city. But let Lord remember Abraham interceding on behalf of Lot's family. And God says, and I will not destroy this city if I find at least 10 righteous. We couldn't find 10.
But Lot and his wife, they had an opportunity, and his daughters had an opportunity to get out of there. Here are the consequences. Here's the price that Lot paid for his success. Verse 14. He was warned, and now he's warning his family. Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, who married his daughters, and said, up! Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. The first thing he lost was his credibility. The first thing he lost was his influence in his home. Nobody listened to him. Do you have that problem? When you open the scriptures, your children walk away and says, I'd rather see it than hear it.
This is serious business. Do I have the credibility if I speak to my family? Are they going to listen to me, or are they going to laugh and say, he can't be serious. You can't believe anything he says. Because what he is doing speaks so much louder than what he's saying. They didn't listen. What price? Influence in his home, he lost that.
That's not all he lost. He had his wife going with him. They were leaving. I don't know if she had idols behind. I don't know if she forgot to get rid of the gold or what. But she had an interest back there. Contrary to what the angel said, don't look behind you. Look steadfastly. Get out of there. Verse 26.
But his wife look back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. What are we willing to pay? Is it worth it? You've lost your influence. In your home, nobody listens to you. You lost your wife. The one who's been with you all these years. A pillar of salt. You know, that in itself would be sad if that was all the losses that he suffered. I think the next one is the saddest. You know, our brother read this morning about David and Absalom. And I thought that was so sad. Some of the saddest readings you can find in the scriptures. As that man of God lamented over his son. But I think this one taps it though, but that's my opinion. If you want to find a sad verse, a sad portion, then chapter 19. Here it is, beloved. You won't find any sadder picture. Verse 30 says, Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Talking about situational ethics. We have a right to do this. We're reasoning this thing out. We thought about it. Come, let us make our father drink wine. We will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the next day that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay last night with my father, let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. I hate reading this. And if you are sensitive to this, I could understand. But it's here for our learning. That we, through patience of the scriptures, might have hope. This is the verse. I don't think you'll find anything more sad anywhere. Verse 30. Verse 36. Thus were both the daughters of Lot, its child by their father. What price? What price? Now, if this was written of an ungodly man, it would have been sad, beloved. It would have been very sad. But you know something? Let me read about the man who was written. 2 Peter chapter 2. This is bad enough for an ungodly man. You know, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, you're practicing a sin that is not even named among the heathens. It's not even named among the Gentiles. You're so bad. But for this, we wouldn't know the real Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says, Turning the cities of Sodom, this God's action, and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly and delivered just Lot. He was a just man. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy manner of life of the wicked. For that righteous man, he was a righteous man. He believed God, like Abraham. He was a righteous man. Dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. From day to day, with their unlawful deeds, and yet he didn't leave. What shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world? He lose his soul, or lose everything he had. He lost everything he had. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Just Lot. He made a choice. A choice to go down to Sodom. Be careful when you make a choice to leave and to go and to experience the world. Remember the consequences. He went to sojourn, but he dwelt there. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. He sat in the gate. He was now a judge in Sodom. He built a house. That means he's not going back to the land. God had to drag him out of there. Had to drag him out. Somebody said, well, I can leave any time. No, you can't. We get involved in evil and sinful behavior, so we can stop at any time. No, you can't. Lot stayed. Lot stayed. He lost it all. You said, I have a right to make my own choices, but at what price? Because there is a price. A price for success, yeah, a price based on our choices. What will it be? Joshua said, Moses rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Yes, there's pleasure in sin, but it doesn't last. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It passeth away. He that doeth the will of God endures forever. Just a story about a Lot, a man who had a future and who threw it away, who gambled it all on short-term gain. Ended up with nothing. He lost his daughters. That's the final loss to the morals of Sodom. That was okay. That was an okay lifestyle in Sodom. Sodom is coming to us, beloved. Sodom is here with us. We have to make choices too. Good to be with you, beloved. Maybe we'll do Abraham and his choices the next time in the will of the Lord. God bless his word. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee. We thank thee for thy precious word. Whatsoever written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We thank thee that thou hast given us these lessons. There are those that we need to emulate. There are those that we need to shun and avoid. As Moses set the alternatives before Israel, he said, told them, choose life. Give us the grace to make the right choices. We choose to be spiritual. We choose to be godly. We choose to be separated unto the Lord, sanctified and fit for his use. We thank thee, Father, that we cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from all sin.
Give us grace to look with the eyes of Abraham. For when Lot looked, he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. When Abraham looked, he saw the city going up in smoke. Help us to see. Have the proper perspective. And to have insight. Make the right decisions. Thank you for thy word. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. And who has called us unto a life of holiness. A life of separation. A life of godliness. Accept of our thanksgivings, Lord, and part us now with thy blessings, resting upon us, and watch over us and guide us by thy counsel. Lead us by thy Holy Spirit and glorify thyself in us, we humbly pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.